Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to the smartest man in talk radio.
You're going to be listening to one of the smartest people that you probably, and you know who this guy is. It's me.
He's Jim Blasingame.
I am smart. I am smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-T.
The Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging around with me. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Check those out when you get a chance. Use them to your advantage. Both of them have no barrier to entry. If you can get there, we'll let you in. And they both do different things. The first place has lots and lots of general content and the newsletter and the blog. That's smallbusinessadvocate.com. And the other one, askjim.biz, that's our new knowledge base. That's where you can go and find answers. Ask a question. Type in your question, and we'll give you an answer of some kind. Hopefully, it'll be exactly what you want. And more of that to come, by the way. That's a little baby website. It's still growing, but there's a lot of good stuff there, and I encourage you to check it out. Governor Pete DuPont is with us, ladies and gentlemen. Governor Pete DuPont is, as you know, is a former congressman from Delaware, former governor of the great state of Delaware, former presidential candidate for the United States. I would be happy to live in a country where there was a President Pete DuPont. He is now the chairman of the National Center for Policy Analysis, and I'm glad to say that he's our good friend. Governor DuPont, welcome back to the show.
Well, Jim, thank you. I listened to that little ad of yours saying how smart you were, and I think you're dead right. You're a lot smarter than I am.
I don't think so, Governor, but I appreciate you saying that. It's good to have you here. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show. It's an honor to have you as a part of our brain trust and to call you our friend. Governor, one of the things that's been happening in the last 3 or 4 years that's been very interesting to me is this experiment that we've had. The President Bush proposed cutting taxes like crazy back in 2003. Those tax cuts were passed. In the meantime, the experiment about whether supply side economics works and about whether dynamic scoring works, that experiment has proven to be absolutely correct on both of those. Supply side economics clearly works, and dynamic scoring clearly works. So what is it that the Democrats don't get about that?
Well, I think if you look at the two parties back over time, going all the way back to Franklin Roosevelt's time as president, that the Democratic Party is generally for bigger government, the Republican Party for keeping government the size it is, or maybe even making it smaller, so the Democrats are always advocating they want more federal tax dollars in, so they're always advocating higher taxes. The Republicans, starting with Reagan, did major tax reductions. President Bush's tax reductions have been absolutely extraordinary in what they've done. They've increased since when the 2003 tax cuts were signed into law and they became effective. Revenues, government tax receipt revenues went up over 14% in 2005, about 12% in 2006, and in the month of 2007, it's going to be about 11 or 12% again. So,
and see, that's the dynamic scoring part. That's the part
absolutely.
where that's what dynamic scoring is, folks. Where in a market based economy, if you lower taxes, it actually increases tax revenue. That's dynamic scoring.
And that's it. And that is exactly true.
If the Democrats and I shouldn't pick up on the Democrats alone, Governor, because as you know, and I'll correct you just a little bit. Lately, the Republicans haven't been the party of small government. Now we know the party of big government is whichever party's in the majority. We now know that for sure. But the thing is if the Democrats wanted more. If politicians of any stripe wants more money, you'd think they'd look at this last experiment and say, hey, if this is good, why don't we cut taxes more?
You're exactly right, because the impact has been enormous. Not only the revenue's gone up, but there's some new statistics out that show how the deficits have gone down. I mean, the Democratic Party's always saying we've got to get the deficits down. Well, the deficit was $413 billion in fiscal 04 as the tax cuts were taking effect. 05, it went down to 318. 06, it went down to 248. In this year, it's going to be somewhere between 150 and 200. So not only does the government get more revenue, but the deficit goes down. And that's something that both political parties talk about. And here's something that actually works.
What color do you think the sky is in their world, Governor?
I don't know what.
I don't think they live in the same world you and I live in.
No, they don't. And
I think they live in bizarro world, Governor.
They live in a very different place. They want government bigger and taxes higher.
Stand by. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with our good friend Governor Pete DuPont. I told you you'd be smarter when Governor DuPont joined us. Stay with us. We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Governor Pete DuPont, former governor of the great state of Delaware, and now he's policy chairman for the National Centers for Policy Analysis, and that's ncpa.org. Is that right, Governor?
That's right.
So check that out when you get a chance, folks. You can find all the things that that the governor has written. By the way, quite often he's got op-eds in the Wall Street Journal and a number of other publications as well. Governor, we're talking about these two things that I like to talk about, and that's this the concept of how dynamic scoring works, which is where if you lower taxes in a market-based economy, tax revenue actually goes up. And the other is supply-side economics. And, Governor, I have asked small business owners from Rome to Stockholm to Sheboygan, Wisconsin, and everywhere in between, if you had lower taxes, what would you, if the government gave you back some of your tax dollars by lowering your taxes, what would you do with that money? And the governor, instantaneously, without thinking, without blinking, 100% of those small business owners have said to me, I would reinvest that in my business. Now, Governor, that's supply-side economics.
Oh, exactly right. And that is what grows businesses. And, of course, when you grow your business, when you reinvest in your business and grow it, you get additional jobs. We've seen in the result of the Bush tax cuts, we've seen 44 consecutive months of job growth in the country. 8 million new jobs. The unemployment rate's gone from down by 25% from 6.4 to 4.5. In other words, the tax reductions grow the economy. They increase the number of jobs. They increase the revenue that the federal government has to spend. I mean, it's just a win-win-win situation, and somehow the liberal end of things just doesn't get it.
Well, and it's just bizarre to me that they don't. And so, Governor, if we know they want to raise, if we know that they want more revenue, and we've shown them how to actually get more revenue, and it's a way of collecting the eggs from the goose without killing the goose. If they want to raise taxes, any politician who wants to raise taxes, to me, what they're really saying is we believe in class warfare. What do you think?
Well, they certainly believe in class warfare, but I think what they really believe is that government can make better decisions than individuals, and they would rather have, and this is the whole argument of free markets versus socialism that's been going on in the world for centuries.
Do you think it bugs them that the lower the taxes, the more control people claim over their own lives? You think that bugs them?
Well, I think it does bug them. They see...
Wow.
We've had so much economic success. You know, starting back in the 80s when, and we had this whole argument once before in the 1980s when President Reagan reversed the policies of the previous Democrat administrations and started cutting taxes. It grew the economy extraordinarily, and the liberals all argued, oh no, you know, this is not going to work, but it did work, and now it has worked again with the Bush tax cuts. But the real argument, I think, you asked the right basic question, that one party, the Democratic Party, would rather have centralized decision-making because they think the government can do better than all of the individuals in making the right decisions, the correct decisions. On the other side, there's the Republican Party, which is a believer in individual choices. You should make your choice. The government shouldn't make it for you. And they believe that if you lower taxes, the economy grows, people have more money to invest, more money to spend. And that argument's been going on. You can go all the way back to Roman times and hear that argument.
But, Governor, aren't you being a little nostalgic for the Republican Party? I mean, does the definition that you just described about the Republican Party, does it actually fit in 2007?
It doesn't fit in the Republican Congress in 2007, although Mitch McConnell in the Senate Republicans are beginning to get their act together. And I think you're going to see some of that kind of thinking we were just talking about coming back because they realize that they can be Republicans again. The House is a much more difficult problem.
Republicans have let their wheels run off, haven't they?
They really have, and you know, it needs some new vision. I mean, it needs putting everybody in the room for a few days and come up again with Newt Gingrich's something like Newt Gingrich's plan, which he did back in the 1990s. There doesn't seem to be a very well expressed Republican vision for the future, and particularly with the presidential race that's coming up, and we're going to have a new president of one party or the other. This is the time to put forward vision because that's the kind of thinking that's going to decide what happens in the presidential race.
When we know that Newt has an 800-pound brain, but is he electable?
Oh, I don't know whether he's going to run. You know, he keeps he'll tell you very candidly that you know he's thinking about it, and he'll.
He basically announced in South Carolina not too long ago.
Yeah, he did. He gave, but he is a very smart person. But I don't know. I don't know as a candidate whether he's, you know, he's certainly got the intellectual strength to get it done. And he certainly, you know, he's full of ideas. My gosh, you watch him on television, somebody asks him a question, he's got 42 facts.
It seems to me, though, that he wouldn't make a great president, but he might make a great presidential advisor.
Oh, he'd be an excellent presidential advisor. I mean, I don't know whether he's going to run.
So if we could get Governor Pete DuPont elected president, then maybe we'd have him as an advisor. Is that what you're saying?
Well, we would certainly have him as an advisor. We'd also have lower tax rates. We'd also hopefully have smaller government, though. That's hard to do.
Exactly. Well, I'm for that. I'm voting on that ticket. When can I see that ticket, Governor DuPont?
I wouldn't count on that soon.
Governor Pete DuPont, ladies and gentlemen, he and I will be right back after these messages. We come back, I'm going to ask the governor about our national energy policy, or the one that we ought to have, not the one that we don't have. Stand by. We'll be right back. We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with Governor Pete DuPont, a great American, ladies and gentlemen, somebody that I look up to on so many levels. Governor DuPont, I want to say again, as I've done before, and I'm going to say it one more time at least today, for the service that you provided this country, for the leadership, for the wisdom, for the class act that you've been as a representative of our nation, we thank you.
Well, you're very nice. You know, you ought to stop doing a radio show and run for governor. You would be terrific. You'd have the legislature tied in knots. You'd have all the right decisions made for your state.
I don't think people want to. I think you may be in the minority on that opinion, Governor. But thank you for that,
yeah, Governor. Just remember, you got to talk to your wife first before
that's
you
right.
run. Though
I think that's where the kibosh would come, Governor.
Right.
Governor, let's talk about energy policy. We got to develop an energy policy in this country that combines new exploration, conservation, new energy models. And we got to figure out, not just from an economic standpoint, but from a national security standpoint, don't we?
We really do. And, you know, it's just so simple. And we're doing very well on the conservation end. I mean, there's new technology coming. There's new ideas coming. I think that part of it is going well. But, you know, there is so much oil and natural gas off our coasts. We could build nuclear power plants all over the country and get rid of the use of oil, which is something we're trying to do. But to get either of those things done, you have a huge political argument. I mean, Hillary Clinton, for some time, has argued we should not have any more nuclear power plants because they're too dangerous, they're too risky. Now, I think maybe she's beginning to change her mind. I kind of hear a little shift. But nuclear power plants and offshore oil drilling would just begin to solve the problem. Offshore oil drilling gets rid of all the oil coming from the Arab countries, and that's a big problem for us. So it's just there, and we just need to do it.
I had a guy on the show a while back, one of the guys from CEI, I think it was, Myron Ebel, I think was his name, as I remember, I think it was Myron, said that they just found enough reserves in Montana under private lands to almost double our national reserves.
Really? Well, that's good.
And they're starting to drill for that, so that would be good. And see, there's no politics in that. That's on private land, so that'll be good. But we need a national policy, and frankly, Governor, I don't think that America, unfortunately, in the 21st century, I don't think we're capable of electing the kind of leaders that can make that happen. I'm not optimistic.
We absolutely do need a national energy policy. I mean, we're trying to get rid of the CO2, the carbon dioxide emissions, and one way to do that right off the top of the bat is the nuclear power plant. But there's a good argument to have with everyone because it puts the issue right in front of us. But you're right. We need to be in control of our own energy supplies, and we need cleaner energy, and there's ways to do that. And we just got to get to it.
If we could become independent with regard to our own energy usage, we wouldn't care what happened in the Middle East.
Oh, exactly right.
And you know,
I would bet 50 years from now, you and I won't be on this show probably. But if we were, we would see a very different energy situation. I mean, I think 50 years from now, we'll have our own power. The whole issue of Middle East oil will be part of history. Something that, oh gosh, that was a problem way back when. And we're doing better in starting to think about it. But we got a long way to go.
Well, and the other thing that you don't hear a lot of people talk about that I talk about on the show, we're using less petroleum per dollar of GDP today, much less than we did 17 years ago, even though the economy has doubled.
Oh yeah, we're getting much more energy efficient. I mean, everything from the
oil. But you don't ever hear Al Gore say anything about that.
No, you don't. And now tell me, is Al Gore going to run for president? I need your opinion.
I hope he does. I don't know. I'm sorry, folks. The guy just looks annoying to me. I do not agree with his politics, but he looks annoying to me. I hope he does because I think he'd be good for the Democrats.
Well, I think he'd get the Democratic nomination.
I think he'd be good for the Republicans too, Governor.
He would be good for the Republicans, but I predicted a couple of months ago that he was going to run. I don't think his ego will let him do anything else.
I don't know, but
I predicted he was going to, and they said, "Oh, that's ridiculous. He's never going to do that."
Well, we'll see.
We'll
have you back on the show before too long and get you to see if you still think that. Governor Pete DuPont, thank you for being here. Good job today, as always.
Well, Jim, I enjoyed being with you again, and we'll come back soon.
We'd love that. Thank you very much. Governor Pete DuPont, ladies and gentlemen, a great American. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and as you know, this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.